A very good morning. Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, as you all know, the theme for our camp is Be Discerning. And for the main messages in the morning by Pastor Reverend Quek, he'll be bringing us through, you know, the what, the hows, the whys of discernment, primarily looking at the book of Hebrews. And then after that, we're going through a couple of specific areas in which we need discernment in. For our morning devotion, we'll be doing something slightly different, still around the idea of discernment. But what we want to do is to look at a few case studies, a few examples of actual churches in the New Testament and how they dealt with this idea of discernment. Of course, some of them will do better than others. Some of them will be worse. This morning, we're going to start with a negative example that we can learn from. The church that did not have discernment, a church that was rebuked by the Apostle Paul and spoken, you can say, rather harshly against, described as foolish Galatians. Why? Because as a church, they did not practice discernment, and we're going to look at the, well, basically what happens to them. And so over the next few mornings, we're going to look at a few other New Testament churches. We'll look at churches like the church at Ephesus, at Philippi, at Colossae, and we'll look at how they had or did not have a discernment, or what was the issues that they were facing. So that will be what we'll cover for the next few mornings for morning devotion. And now as we look into the book of Galatians, the passage that we want to focus on will be in chapter 3. But to get a little bit of background for the church of Galatia, let us flip back first to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Now, as you know, Galatia was a region that Paul visited during his first missionary journey, churches like Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, that sort of area in Asia. And he would later visit them in his second and his third missionary journey as well. And when he got there, he initially had a pretty good success, you may say. Oftentimes, he would just enter into the synagogue and he would begin to preach. And there'll be people that believe, there'll be people, of course, that would not believe. But generally, there were believers in every of these cities, Jews, Gentiles alike. And so quickly, the number of churches had been established at the end of the first missionary journey. But at the same time, there were different teachings, doctrinal errors that were beginning to creep into the church as well. The main problem that Paul would face would be that of the Judaizers. The Jews who claimed to be Christians, they said, yes, I was converted, I am now a believer. But at the same time, they begin to teach that, well, you need works in order to be saved. You need to do certain things. You need to keep the Old Testament law. You need to be circumcised. And that's why at the end of the first missionary journey, they had to meet together in Jerusalem to discuss some of these issues. But right about that time, Paul also wrote to warn the Galatians. Because although they may have started to believe and they seem to have started off well, because of their lack of discernment, they quickly were bewitched, beguiled by all these false teachings. And that is why in verse 6, Paul told them, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It was another gospel of a different kind. It was not a similar gospel, just some slight errors here and there. No, there were very serious problems, and it will be a gospel that would not save them. And so he warned them, this gospel is not another like a similar type, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so he tells them, now, if we or another angel from heaven, anyone, if they come and preach another wrong gospel unto you, let him be accursed. And so that was a problem that the church at Galatia was facing. There was this other gospel coming in, but they were not wary of it. In fact, they just welcomed it with open arms and they thought, hey, that sounds good. Let's listen. Let's follow this new teaching. Clearly a serious lack of discernment. And I'm sure that we don't want this to happen into our churches. We want our churches to be discerning. That's why we're gathered here. We want our individual members to be discerning as well. We want us to be aware of all the different aspects in our lives, all the different areas and means by which the devil may come and beguile us, bewitch us. And we must be on guard. And so sadly, at that point of time, many of the churches in Galatia, that whole region, they fell to these false teachings. And so Paul had to write to warn them. Now let us see what Paul says about these churches, about these people, and that can be primarily found in chapter 3. And so let us look at a few descriptions that he gives of them. Really quite damning words that he will use. The first one that we see is in the first line that says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." You see, a church that has no discernment, you can just simply describe it as a foolish church, isn't it? Foolish church. No, literally this word foolish just is a combination of no and thinking, right? No thinking, that's all. That's what it means to be foolish. Where you don't exercise your mind. You lack discernment. You just blindly follow. You don't think. When a situation is placed before you, when a teaching, a doctrine is placed before you, sounds good, okay, I follow. We don't search the scriptures. We are not like the Berean Christians. We just, well, follow whatever people tell you to do. Not exercising of the mind. Now you see, the Lord has given us our mind, faculty of thinking. That is basically the way in which we would have to discern. Now, of course, God's word is then the tool that we will use. We're going to cover that later on in the first message. We need God's word, but how do we approach God's word? We have to use our minds. Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord will guide us to help us to understand. But if we are not even bothered to do that first step, we just come, we listen, we just follow, we just blindly accept. Well, that was what was happening to the Christians over at Galatia. And he looked down to verse 2. He asked them this question. He says, This only would I learn of you. He says, there's just one question I have to ask. And it's really a very simple question. He's just, you know, Paul is just simply using a very basic logical approach to help them to see how they should reject this heresy. He just asks them. And he says, now when you received the Spirit, was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you become a believer? Was it by faith or was it by the works? And very clearly they would know. Well, I just simply believed, right? Paul came to the synagogue, Paul preached and they believed. And so what Paul is doing is just, you know, asking them very basic questions to show that, you know, even at this basic level, you are not discerning. You do not exercise your mind. You do not think. And so he says, now, really, was it by faith or by works? And if it is by faith, why do you believe in all these Jews that come in to tell you, you must have works in order for your faith to be complete? And so he asks them again in verse 3, the same word. Are you so foolish? Why are you so unthinking? Why do you not exercise your mind? Why are you unwise? You have begun in the Spirit, but now you think that you can be made perfect by the flesh. Basically, well, by works. What makes you think that you who have begun in the Spirit and you know it is the work of the Spirit that gave you the faith, what makes you think that now you must have faith, you must have works in order for your faith to be complete? It makes sense. This is not very deep, difficult issues that they were contending with. It was just a simple idea of simple basic manner of, well, are you saved by faith or are you saved by works? And so that was the first problem that they were facing. Paul just simply describes them as a foolish, unthinking church. And the next line that he says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, then he asks them, Who hath bewitched you? This word bewitched, that's this idea of one that is easily swayed, fascinated. Right? It has this root idea of being fascinated. Meaning to say that now as the new teachings came in, now they began to say, yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, Jesus will grant you salvation. But you know, at the same time, you can't put away the law. We must still keep Moses. And so it was something that you can say was rather attractive to them. They listened and they thought, well, sounds good, right? Because they, you know, in that sense, they won't have to put away their past, what they construed as, well, their sort of culture, their traditions. And at the same time, yes, we can have this new benefit of what Paul is teaching in salvation. And so they were bewitched, easily swayed, easily fooled, enticed by something that is attractive and alluring. That's what it means to be bewitched. And how were they? They were a bewitched people. They listened to these new, fascinating, exciting teachings, and they thought, hey, that sounds better than what Paul had been teaching us. Because Paul's one was a little bit simplistic, isn't it? Just believe and you will be saved. What, I don't have to do anything? I mean, they were so used to a religion where they had to do things. Go to the temple, offer sacrifices, keep all these different fasts and feasts, have all these different ceremonial laws and procedures. And then now you want to just push them all aside and say, believe by faith? Doesn't seem to be enough. And so this new teaching came in and they were very easily bewitched, beguiled, attracted, allured, tempted. You see, that's what happens when we put aside logical thought. When we stop thinking and then we just allow our emotions to respond. When we just get into the feel and the mood of things and think, well, you know, what he says sounds really good. And that is not your mind or your heart responding. It's just simply, you know, responding to the moment. A charismatic speaker comes and he presents his teachings in such a enticing, exciting manner. Sometimes if we don't discern, we will easily be bewitched. That's what advertising is all about, isn't it? Attracting you, alluring you, convincing you that this is the thing that we want. And the ways of the world and the way that these marketing people would do things have also crept into the church. And they're using all these tactics, using all these different devices to allure, to attract, to entice. To be discerning means to be on guard and to always actively think and consider. Do not allow ourselves just simply to respond or to dissuade by all these teachings, but to go back to the Word of God. To think, not to be foolish, but to be wise. To search the Scriptures and say, hey, is this really in accordance to God's Word? Is this really a teaching that we have received from God, or is this a teaching of man? A church that does not discern is one that is easily fooled or easily allured by the latest, you can say, doctrinal fad that comes along, nicely packaged, alluringly presented. And will we be bewitched? Because so many churches have fallen. Many angles and avenues which the devil will come and use. Through music, through different versions of the Bible, through different teachings and doctrines. And he knows how to fool us. The church at Galatians, at that point of time, they fell. They were foolish, Paul says, and now they were bewitched. And what happened as a result of that is that they willfully rejected the truth. A willful rejection, you see that in the third part of verse 1. He says, you're foolish, Galatians, you have been bewitched. What is the result of that is that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This word should not obey basically has this idea of they were not persuaded or they were not convinced. Right? They did not yield to the truth. Basically, that's what it means. He says, you are foolish and you were bewitched. And the result of this is that you were not persuaded by the truth. And what is the truth? He tells them now, this is the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. Basically, he says, it was so clearly set forth before you. Right? It is a very simple truth. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all. That was the truth that has been so clearly set before your very eyes. But what happened? You refused to obey. You were not persuaded. You did not yield to the truth. You did not believe and trust in truth. But instead you believe in this another gospel. And that's what happens in it. When we stop exercising our minds, when we are easily enticed and bewitched or beguiled, what happens? The truth that is so clearly set forth before our eyes, we reject it. We turn away from it. We refuse it. And then we just run after this other gospel. That is what happened to the church here. He says, you did not obey. Why? Because you were bewitched. You were foolish. And this truth that is so clear to every believer, to every spirit-filled believer, these things which are spiritually discerned, Even the eyes of a child would be able to understand, isn't it? How are we saved? Well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He was crucified. He rose again on the third day. He shed blood for my sins. That was a simple gospel that Paul had brought before them. But they say, no, that's not enough. We have to do works. We have to circumcise. We have to continue to eat these clean foods and not these unclean foods. And these were all the problems that they were faced with. And the result of it, they willfully rejected. Because that is what happened, isn't it? That's what will happen, isn't it? The truth that has been so clearly taught to us, we reject. And we go for something more exciting, more alluring, maybe more attractive. Or is it really so simplistic that what the same Bible we've been using for hundreds of years is the same Bible that we need to use? No. Oh, we must look at science and archaeology and look at all these different new means and methods which scholars have come up with to help us, to show us, or really what is the right way to translate, what is the right way to identify the words of the Bible. And it seems, well, a lot more scholarly and attractive. Well, let's go after these new things instead. And that's how we always are. And then the truth that has been so clearly set forth before us, really not a complex idea. Is the Word of God perfect? Yes. The child of God will know that. By faith, we just simply believe it. But when some other new teaching comes in, it seems more reputable or respectable if we follow these scholars and not these, well, simple people. And that is what happens. Christians, believers, even they become bewitched. Why? Because of a lack of discernment. Because they don't believe and they reject. Paul says that you should not obey the truth. You turn away from this simple truth that had been so clearly and evidently set forth before you. And so that was a third problem that they had, a willful rejection. And sad to say, so many have turned away from the truth as well. As a church, as individuals, this then becomes our responsibility. Will we be discerning, or will we reject the truth of God's Word? We have it in our hands, the Bible, the Word of God. It is something that is taught to us again and again and again. Or will we turn away from it? And we are not just talking about doctrinal beliefs, talking about our lives as well, our lives as a Christian, our conduct, our testimony, all these different aspects of our lives. These are what we will cover over the course of this week. Discernment in your choices, in your lives, in your workplaces, in your use of money, in your use of all these different avenues which God has given you. Will we reject the truth that will be so clearly and simply set forth before us? Will we turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ in pursuit of the things of this world? Because that is really the tussle, the struggle, the decisions that we will have to make. For them at the point of time, they turned away. They said, oh, I don't want this truth, this simple truth that Paul, you are giving to us. I don't want, well, this simple idea that Jesus Christ has died for my sins. I want something else. I want something more. And the result of this, Paul says, this was just a wasted opportunity. And that is what he says in verse 4. He then questions them, have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. The second line is really just a reinforcement of the first idea. Is this really in truth? Is really in vain? What is in vain? He says, you suffered, you know, for the faith. And that is what happened to the Christians over in Galatia. When Paul first entered in, straight away he began to face a lot of persecution. The Christians at Antioch and Pisidia, they were extremely antagonistic of what Paul was doing. The Jews especially, they hated the teachings of Paul that said Jesus Christ is a Messiah, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And not long after he began to preach, yes, some believed, but others just chased him out of the city. And so he went again over into Iconium. Again, the Jews rose up against him and said, no, we don't want your teachings. He fled over to Lystra. And over there, the Jews from Antioch chased him all the way to Lystra found him, stoned him, and left him for dead. That was a sort of strong persecution that the Jews themselves did against those that started to convert, to believe. And so it was really not a friendly ground to Christians. And you can be assured that soon after they believed or declared themselves to be a follower and a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will receive the same treatment that Paul received. Persecuted, ostracized, maybe even stoned. That is what happened. In all these cities, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and you can be sure that all the other cities in Galatia, they will face similar problems. And Paul knew that. He says, you had suffered for the faith. But now, there was this new teaching coming in, and then now you're so easily bewitched, you're so easily beguiled, and you just start to follow another gospel, which is not a gospel at all. And the result of this is, well, you know, people will not know the truth anymore, and your church as a testimony will just lose its effectiveness. And that is why he says, now, you would have been suffering in vain. You'd be such a waste, right? All this suffering, all this effort put in order that the gospel may go forth, that a church may be established, that a witness may be there in Galatia. And if you fall prey to these false teachings, what happens to your church? A waste, nothing, useless, a wasted opportunity. And that is how the church, that is what the churches in Galatia were at risk of. And Paul later on in this epistle will say, you know, you did run well. You started off well. But he says, now who did hinder you that he should not obey the truth? And now they were turning away from the truth. It'll be then, as Paul says, in vain, wasted. All the effort, blood, sweat, toil, pain that they endured. And all be for naught. And all be for naught. Why? Because there was a group of them that did not want to exercise discernment. They did not want to pay attention to the truth of the gospel of God's word, of the teachings which they had already received of Paul. And then the question, of course, is that is what will happen to our church. Years of effort put in by our founding fathers, by the seniors, the leaders that had gone before us. They put in all this effort to establish our church and defend our church against all the attacks of the evil one, to ensure that our church will continue to be a beacon of truth. Fight so hard, struggle, sometimes suffer as well. Persecution of all people who will come in and badmouth our church and say all manner of things against our church. In a sense, they suffered as well. And if we will be the next generation, will we then just give up? Stop exercising discernment? Is, oh, don't fight so hard, and all these things are not important. And then we turn away from the truth, we be bewitched, we act foolishly, and then we will end up like this church here, suffering in vain. Yeah, maybe we didn't suffer. The generations before us, they suffered. And through their effort, our church has been established. And if we refuse to practice discernment, if we would just allow ourselves to be allured, attracted by all these new teachings that come our way, well, it won't be surprising if our church then falls within a generation. And so we need your discernment. What an important topic that we have gathered this week to consider, to study, to discuss. Many, many different aspects of discernment that we'll have to look into. But we must first have this conviction to say, I will not want to end up like the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia. I do not want to be seen as a foolish church, bewitched, rejecting the truth so willfully. I do not want to be that church then that is just described as a vain, empty, worthless, useless church. No, I want to continue to be a witness and testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. I want our church to continue to be effective. A church that continues to preach the truth, a church that continues to hold firm to the faith and the truth of God's word, that all who come will receive the pure and unadulterated gospel, the word of God, that their lives will continue to be blessed, that our children will also be able to come, be blessed and encouraged in the word of God. And what do we need? Amongst many other things, we need discernment. Discernment not just amongst the leaders, but discernment at every level. Everyone individually must play their part so that we won't be foolish. We won't be bewitched. We won't willfully reject the truth, and our church will not be a waste. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this first example that we're looking to, the church or the churches over at Galatia. And Lord, we pray that thou will help us to learn from this first example that thou hast placed before us, a negative example, that none of us will ever fall prey to the wiles of the devil, the various bewitching teachings that will come our way. But help us to hold firm and hold fast to the faith, to the truth of thy word, which thou hast given us so clearly, simply placed before our very eyes. And Lord, we pray over the next few days as we consider this idea of discernment. May thou enable our hearts to be receptive to thy word. And may this conviction grow within our hearts that we will say, yes, we want to be a discerning church. We want to be a discerning people. And Lord, we do continue to commit our speakers into thy care. We commit the camp committee and all the campers that this whole week will be a profitable one for all of us. That as we study thy word together, as we discuss and encourage one another, that all of us will be blessed and we will learn much from our time spent here. And so we thank thee for this morning. We commit the rest of this whole day into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.